Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
And it's an honour to be sharing the word here tonight. I've heard that you guys have launched a mission as a church of field of faith cards and really believing God for your field of faith, for the harvest to come in your life. And I'm so excited to be sharing on that topic tonight because my story is that I was on somebody's field of faith card when I was 5 years old. I was in New Zealand. My dad was a Muslim. My mum had converted to Islam to marry my dad, and my family was falling apart when I was 5 years old. My mum had taken my brother and my sister and I out to live in a women's and children's shelter. She left my dad. And we had a group of people, we didn't know it at the time, but we had a group of people, parents at my school, that were praying and believing for our salvation. They said to my parents once we got saved, they said, "You don't know how many times we prayed for you. You don't know how many times we sowed into your life. We believed God." And we had a next door neighbour who shared the gospel with my mum, and she said, "Look, I know your life is falling apart, but I believe that God has a plan for your life and he has a purpose for your life. And if you would just trust God with your life will never be the same again." And so my mum ended up giving her life to Jesus. She got baptised in this lady's bathtub. I know that's a little bit weird. Ended up moving back in with my dad. My dad ended up just coming along to church with my mum. He was a Muslim, and so he's like, "Well, I believe in God. I believe in Abraham, Moses, Jesus. Is a prophet," but the Holy Spirit really encountered him. He had a real life-changing encounter with the Holy Spirit, and he got saved, gave his life to Jesus, got baptized. And so since I was 5 years old, I've grown up in the church and I've lived in the blessing that it is to be planted in the house of the Lord. And so I was on somebody's field of faith card. I was a part of the field of faith for a group of people in the church. I don't even know their names. I don't even know who those people were. I was just a young kid. But I can't tell you, every time that I think about these people, every time I think about the people who shared the gospel, who didn't give up, who never stopped praying, who never stopped going, who never had fear, who never stepped out in intimidation, who never said, "Hey, it's too hard, they're too broken, they're too far away from God." I'm so thankful for these people because it's changed my life. And I believe that as we share around this field of faith and share around these scriptures tonight, I believe that there are going to be so many lives in your sphere of influence, in your field, that are going to be changed by what God wants to do in and through your lives. So if we could just bow our heads and close our eyes and just pray for 1 minute together, that would be amazing. Father, tonight we just ask you to open every heart, open every mind. Come and say what you want to say. Come and do what you want to do. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. We say, come and meet with every person. Jesus, we love you and we honor you in your powerful and beautiful name. Amen. Amen, amen. Awesome. Well, if you could turn in the Bible to John chapter 4 and verse 35 with me. John chapter 4 and verse 35. It's the key scripture for this series in the field of faith. John chapter 4 and verse 35, it says this: "You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are ripe for harvest." The fields are ripe for harvest. It says, "But I say, wake up and look around, the fields are ripe for harvest." 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9 says this: "There is a wide open door for a great work here, but there are also many who oppose me." Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37 says this: "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few.'" You know what, church, tonight, it's my observation A lot of the time with great opportunity can come great opposition. And if we want to be people who are believing for the harvest in our lives, if we want to be people who are committed to seeing our friends and family and community saved, we need to be people who are not afraid of opposition. We need to be people who aren't afraid of the but. We need to be people who are willing to go past that and see past that fear and doubt and inadequacy and opposition and complacency and believe God for the harvest. We need to be committed to shrinking that butt. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, you need to shrink your butt. You need to shrink your butt. Hopefully you don't get slapped. You need to shrink your butt. Amazing, amazing. There are many ways that we can shrink these butts of opposition and complacency and the things that really stand between us and the harvest that God has got us believing for. And I know that as a church, you're going on a journey of talking about how you can reach the harvest. And tonight, I would like to talk about one way that we can do that. It's not the only way, but it's one key way for us to reach the harvest. And that is to have a revelation, first and foremost, that we are ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven. We are ambassadors for the kingdom of God. Everywhere that we go and in everything that we do, we represent heaven here on earth. You know, advertising is a powerful thing. It's the reason why business corporations, Nike, Adidas, McDonald's, Gucci, they will pour thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars into marketing strategies, into airtime, into billboards, into influencers and brand reps, because advertising is powerful. If you're a business person in the place tonight and you've got your eye on a Super Bowl ad, you'd like to promote yourself on the Super Bowl this year in 2019, you better start saving your pennies, because a 30-second ad on the Super Bowl will cost you $5.25 million. Why advertising is powerful. Advertising is powerful. And as Christians, you know, one of the greatest opportunities that we have is first and foremost to live in relationship with God, to love God, to worship God, to live in His blessing and His favor. But another great opportunity and great blessing and privilege that we have is to be a walking, talking advertisement for the kingdom of God everywhere that we go. We have the opportunity to be an ambassador for the kingdom of God. And one of the greatest tools that we have to reach the harvest in our lives is our witness, our testimony, our story, and evidence that God is at work in our daily lives. Evidence that God is at work in our daily lives. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13 says this, "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth." People who say things show that they are not looking, they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. But instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. And therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 says this, "But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for Him to return as our Savior." We are citizens of heaven. Now, when I meet people for the first time, usually a couple of things happen. When my parents got together, they weren't Christian, so I do not have a Christian name. My name is Layla, and the most spiritual thing about my name is that I was named after the Eric Clapton song, Layla. If anyone knows that song, it's a little bit embarrassing, but it's the truth, so we'll roll with that. So I was named after this song. So one of the first things that happens to me when I meet someone new, if they're over the age of about 40 years old, I'll shake their hand, I'll say, "Hi, my name's Layla, nice to meet you." And all of a sudden they'll start singing to me. They'll start singing the Eric Clapton song, Layla. I can't sing, so I'll spare you my voice, but they'll start singing Layla. And it's really awkward. It makes my life a bit of a mobile karaoke bar. And, you know, what do you do when someone you've never met before is singing to you? Like, that's awkward. Just think about that for a second. But the second thing that usually happens after a little bit is people will just sort of look at my face, consider my name, look at my features, and they'll just sort of stop for a moment and they'll say, so where are you from? Like, where are you from? I've got no idea. And that's always a very hard question for me to answer because firstly I say, oh, I'm from Adelaide. And they're like, Adelaide? I'm like, yeah, oh, I grew up in Geelong in Victoria. I spent my teenage years there. And they're like, Geelong? I'm like, I spent my childhood in New Zealand. They're still staring at me with a blank face. I'm trying to find the right answer. I'm like, I was born in England. And they're like, England? And then finally I'll be like, and my dad's Persian, my mum's Irish. And they'll be like, oh, Persian. Okay, that makes sense. So we come to like some form of agreement on where I'm from. But yeah, usually what they're saying when they look at me is they're like, I can tell that the way that you look and the way that you conduct yourself and the name that you carry and the way that you speak, it's not really typical of this place. Therefore, I can only conclude that you must be from somewhere other than this. You must be from somewhere else. And church, I pray, as Horizon Church, I pray that when you go into your workplace, when you go into your business, in your family, in your school, in your university, people would look at you and they would say there's something about the name that you carry, the love that you show, the peace that you have, the life that you live. There's something about you that's not typical of this world, that's not typical of this place. Therefore, you must be from somewhere else. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, if I find in myself desires that nothing in this world can satisfy, I can only conclude that I was not born for this place. I was not born or made for this world. We are citizens of heaven, citizens of heaven. You know, as citizens of a particular country, there are often commonalities between citizens, things that we share, maybe an accent, maybe certain types of foods, maybe names, maybe customs and laws. There are things that we share as citizens of Australia or citizens of different countries. And in the same way, as citizens of heaven, there are things that we have in common to all of us as believers, as people who are citizens. And so I want to look at a few of those tonight. The Bible gives us this framework. There's so many that we can see in our identity. Maybe it's the food that we drink, the food that we eat, the drink that we drink, the language, the accent, the customs, the laws, the names, the heritage, the songs, the places, the values. But tonight I just want to look at four characteristics that are common to all of us as citizens of heaven. Four characteristics that are common to us as citizens of heaven. The first one is that we share a new heritage, a new heritage. I was born a British citizen, so I can't help but love the monarchy a little bit. Don't hate me for that, but little Prince George over there in England was born in 2013. And experts tell us that if he simply outlives his father, his grandfather, and his great-grandmother, he will be King of England one day. Lucky Prince George. It's amazing. Because Prince George has never really done anything to earn his title as king. I've never seen him lead his nation into battle. I've never seen him bring great advice to the people of England or the UK. Prince George has never done anything to earn that title. All he's done is be born into the right bloodline, the right family, into royalty. And you know what, church, as citizens of heaven, every single one of us comes from a new bloodline. Every single one of us has been born into a royal family, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Every single one of us has a new heritage and inheritance in God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 says this, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I don't know what your background is. I don't know what family you come from, but I want to encourage you tonight, no matter where you come from, no matter what your history is, no matter what your past is, no matter where you've been, God has welcomed you into his family and you are part of his royal family and bloodline. The second thing that we have in common as citizens of heaven is that we carry certain names. We carry certain names with us. We carry the names of God. I don't know if you've ever studied the names of God, but the Old Testament tells us all of these names of God, Jehovah Rapha and Jehovah Jireh, and how God is our provider and he's our healer and our restorer. And we have all of these names that we carry with us, these powerful names that we carry with us. Names give us access to certain places. Names give us authority. Names give us a lot, and names can identify us. We carry the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name. Citizens have common names. You know, I'm not going to pick out any particular race except Irish, because my mum's Irish, so I feel like I can do that. But Irish people, they have common names, you know, like Fergus McGrath or Patrick O'Toole. In Australia, we might have Sheila. I don't know if we've got any Sheilas or Bruces in the room. But we carry the name of Jesus, and it's the name that is above every other name. It's the name that at the very mention of that name, every person needs to bow, every demon needs to bow, every sickness needs to bow, every piece of lack needs to bow, everything that's contrary to his name needs to bow to the name of Jesus, because it's the most powerful name in the world. The name of Jesus. We carry the name of Jesus. The third thing that we carry as citizens of heaven, the third thing that's common to all of us, is that we have a distinctive accent. We have a distinctive accent. Our lives speak louder than our words, and our lives speak with the accent of heaven. Our lives carry the sound of heaven. Now, I grew up in a very multicultural family. A family dinner for us was sort of like a gathering of the United Nations, you know, like around the table. But I never really noticed the accents that my parents had. I never really noticed the accent that I had or my brother and sister had. And it wasn't until people from church or people from school came over to our house and my mum would offer them something to drink, or she'd offer them some food and she'd say, "Hey, would you like something to eat?" And then she'd leave the room and my friends would look at me absolutely stunned. They'd say, "Layla, how do you even understand what your mum is saying? She has such a thick Irish accent." And I'm like, "What? An Irish accent?" And I'll go, "Like, Mum, do you have an Irish accent?" And she's like, "Fiddle-dee-dee potatoes." I'm like, "I can't see it. I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea what they're talking about." I couldn't hear the accent that my mum carried. I couldn't hear the difference in her voice. But when people from outside came in and they came into that environment, they noticed a different sound. They heard a different sound. You know what, church? I've grown up in church since I was 5 years old. You might be a long-time church member. Maybe you've been here for a while. And so coming into church and being part of connect groups and different ministries here in the church, maybe we don't realize the sound that we carry. Maybe the love and the peace and the hope and the joy that we have is pretty common to us. It's something that we just take for granted. But I want to encourage us that every single time that we step out into our mission field, every single time that you step into your field of faith, the sound of heaven goes with you. People start to hear the sound of love, the sound of peace, the sound of joy, the sound of hope. Everywhere that you go, people hear the sound and the accent of heaven. Romans chapter 19 and verse 1 says this: "After this, I heard a loud sound in heaven. It sounded like many people calling. They said, 'Praise our God, he saves people. He is great and power belongs to him.'" Our lives make a sound. Our lives carry the sound of heaven. We have a distinctive accent as citizens of heaven. The fourth and final thing that we have in common that we're looking at tonight, it's not the final thing, but the fourth thing that we're looking at tonight that we have in common as citizens of heaven is that we have different ways and customs. Different ways, different customs, different laws. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8 says this: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Now, I have an app on my iPhone called Pages. I don't know if anybody uses Pages, iPhone and iPad, and on your MacBook Pro. You can use it on all Apple devices. I don't work for them. I just like it. And so I use Pages to prepare messages quite regularly. And so I'll use this Pages app. And what happens is if I write some notes into my phone on Pages, I can write something into a particular note and it will automatically update it on all my devices. So on my iPad, I'll have the newest version of my message. On my MacBook, I'll have the newest version, and the same on my phone if I've updated it. But sometimes this doesn't quite work. Sometimes there's a bit of a conflict. Sometimes there's a bit of a clash. If I've put one thing into one device and then all of a sudden put something into my iPad or my iPhone or the other device as well at the same time, there's a conflict. Two versions of the message have been created. And so it will pop up with this message that says, hey, there's two versions. There's a conflict of versions. There's a conflict of stories. There's a conflict of messages here. Which version would you like to choose? And so I can look and I can choose, do I want my iPad version? Do I want my iPhone version? Which version do I want to carry into the future? Do you know what? In the same way, we can sometimes have challenges and problems and situations that we're dealing with in life that come into conflict with the Word of God. They don't actually line up with God's plan, God's purpose, God's destiny, what God says about our lives. Sometimes we can be living this version and we can say, hey, God, I don't know why I'm going through this challenge. I can't tell why this is happening to me. I don't know why I'm not seeing your breakthrough. Do you know what? When those conflicts come, when those contrary ways come, when those differences of messages come, we as citizens of heaven have the opportunity to say, God, I'm going to choose your version. God, I'm going to choose your ways. God, I'm going to choose your plan, and I'm going to choose to carry your words into my future. I want your version of my situation in my future. We can sync our lives with his word. Sync our lives with his word. Citizens of heaven live by certain ways. Maybe if the keyboard could join me, that would be awesome. We know that there are certain benefits and rights and privileges and liberties that are available to people of particular countries. Some countries have more liberties and privileges and rights than others. And in America, for example, the Bill of Rights was introduced into the first United States Congress in the 1780s by the fourth president named James Madison. And this Bill of Rights came into effect in 1791. This Bill of Rights and liberties and privileges. And it seems to me, just by going to America and by watching shows on Netflix and a very trusted source, that ever since that time in the 1700s, Americans have always known their rights and their privileges and their liberties. Because when somebody tries to infringe upon those liberties, maybe in the streets, maybe on the shows that we watch, automatically they start to quote their rights. They start to quote their liberties and their privileges. Like, excuse me, according to my Fifth Amendment right, I have freedom of assembly, so you cannot stop me from assembling with my friends here together today, all right? So you just step off, you just back off, you just step away. You know, they know their rights. They know what they're entitled to. The Bible tells us in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The enemy comes to try and infringe upon the rights of believers. He comes to try and take away your privileges, take away your liberties, take away your confidence, take away the things that God has so graciously given to you. And you know what? I think it's sometimes as Christians, we don't immediately act like the Americans. We don't immediately go, excuse me, devil. You can't take my confidence. You can't take my peace. You can't take my hope. You can't take my joy. Sometimes we can start to get anxious and we can start to get worried or start to get depressed or start to doubt or fear, or we let the enemy sort of take what's rightfully ours. And I was just thinking about this thought and I was thinking, what would a Christian Bill of Rights sound like? If we had a Bill of Rights that we could quote and we could say, hey, devil, you can't come any closer. You can't take my family, my finances, my health. What would that look like? What would that look like? And this is only just scratching the surface, but I think if we were to have a Bill of Rights as Christians, it could go a little something like this. I am God's possession. his child, his workmanship, his friend, temple, co-laborer, witness, soldier, ambassador, and building. I am able to do all things because he strengthens me. I am his chosen, his beloved, his jewel, and his heritage. In Christ, I have been redeemed by blood, set free from sin, set free from Satan, set free from the kingdom of darkness. I have been chosen before the foundation of the world, predestined to be like Jesus, forgiven of all trespasses and been accepted into God's family. I have been justified freely by his grace. I have been given the Holy Spirit. I have been given all things pertaining to life. I have been given great and precious promises. I have authority over the enemy, access to God and wisdom for free. In Christ, I am complete, totally in him. I am free forever from sin's power, sanctified, loved eternally. I am on my way to heaven. I am not condemned. I am one with the Lord. I am seated in heavenly places. I am the head and not the tail, a light in the darkness, the salt of the earth. I am his sheep. I am secure in Christ, set on a rock, more than a conqueror, born again, healed by his stripes, covered by his blood, hidden in the secret place. All things in Christ, I have a living hope and anchor for my soul, power to witness, the mind of Christ, peace with God. In him I can do all things. I can come boldly to his throne. I can find mercy. I can declare liberty to the captives. I can pray always. I can defeat and overcome the enemy. I can tread Satan underfoot. The only things that I cannot do in Christ are to be separated from God, to perish or be lost, to be moved, to be taken out of my Father's hand, to be charged or accused or condemned. I am a citizen of heaven, and this is my Bill of Rights. We are citizens of heaven. Citizens of heaven. If we could all just bow our heads and close our eyes just for one moment. I would love to pray a prayer with every single person in this room, just confirming our status as citizens of heaven. No, I moving to Australia, I was born a British citizen, became a New Zealand citizen, and then as a child, as an 8 or 9 year old, I became an Australian citizen. And there was a citizenship ceremony where you say a pledge to Australia and you become a citizen. In the same way, becoming a Christian, the Bible says that if we confess with our mouth and believe that with our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, then we will be saved. We can become Christians. We can become citizens of heaven. And I would love to just confirm our status for every single person in the room tonight, with no person looking around, with every person in prayer, with every head bowed and every eye closed. We're just going to pray this prayer to confirm our status as citizens of heaven. If you could pray this prayer after me, that would be amazing. Dear Lord Jesus, tonight I come to you. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and all I've done wrong. I thank you for dying on the cross for me, for sacrificing your life so that I could be made free. Jesus, tonight, I choose you, I believe in you, and I become a child of God and a citizen of heaven. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Just still with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're in this place tonight and you prayed that prayer for the very first time, or maybe you've prayed that prayer before, but you feel that there's distance between you and God and you just want to come back into a relationship with God tonight, you want to confirm your status as a citizen of heaven, then I would love to pray with you. We've got some people in the room that want to give you a gift, and the pastors here will tell you a little bit more about that in just a moment. But if you're in this place, you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe you want to come back to God, you feel distant from God, you want to come back to him tonight, then I'm going to ask you, with every head bowed, every person in prayer, no one's looking around except some people who are helping us out with the Bibles and the gifts and stuff for you. If you're in this place and you've made that decision, I'm just going to invite you just to wave your hands at me just so we can see who we're praying for tonight. Why don't you just lift up your hand? Awesome, I see that hand. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Anybody else in this place? Awesome, I see that hand. Anybody else in this place? You want to confirm your status as a citizen of heaven? Anybody else in this place tonight? Awesome. Awesome. It's the best decision that you could ever make. Church, can you just join me in praying for these people tonight? God, we just thank you for every single person tonight who's confirmed that status as a citizen of heaven. God, who's been welcomed into your kingdom. God, we know that all of heaven is rejoicing. Every person is partying. God, because this is the greatest decision that we could ever make. God, we pray your blessing. We pray your favor. We pray your joy, your hope, your freedom, your salvation will just flood their hearts and minds and lives tonight. And God, we thank you that you would just bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen, amen, awesome.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.